May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Good morning to you, my sisters and brothers, saints and sinners and children of God. Today is the first Sunday in Advent. You might have heard that earlier in the worship. And the first Sunday of a season that we look forward to the great coming of the Messiah in the form of a humble child. And we move to a different cycle in the church year and gear ourselves towards eager anticipation and much reflection. Now, there's much joy to come in this world. And as we lift our Christmas trees in our living room and spread the lights across our mantelpieces and on the outside of our homes and dust off our Christmas ornaments, decorating, maybe even going online already and shopping for gifts their Christmas and trying to be first in line at the stores, if you did that on Black Friday, to get this year's crazy toy. While much of the season is driven by the crass commercialism of the media market trying to encourage us to spend, there's no fault in us for wanting to share the joy of what we've earned in the past year with those that we love, brightening up our lives and making memories of one more holiday season with family or friends or just those that we love around us. And yet, while we look forward to eager anticipation to Christ, we read on this, the first Sunday in Advent, from a much later part in Luke, with the words of Jesus Christ himself, with some fairly dire and ominous prophecy of days to come, images that we can very easily take note of as we read them. Now here Jesus is talking to his early followers, words to provoke hope in their hearts amidst all the turmoil of their times that they would encounter. And indeed, there was going to be a lot for them to encounter. That the weather, the oceans, and the earth itself would let them know that the redemption of the people of God was close by. Because there would be times that would come and try them and all of Jesus' followers in their own lifetimes. The followers of Jesus would be persecuted in Jerusalem and throughout the Roman Empire. We hear a lot about that in history with the Caesars, particularly Claudius and Nero. Jerusalem itself would be sacked, the sacred temple lying in ruins. Natural disasters would plague the earth in the years following the death of Christ. Earthquakes. A volcano, a particularly notable volcano named Vesuvius, happened in one generation following the death of Christ. The words that he offered them gave them a means to hope for a better world amidst all that turmoil, amidst all that suffering, one which they could survive, that their hearts not be weighed down because of these events, in order that they may survive and thrive and that the word of God may live on. And so how do we understand and read those signs around us? What do we look for? How do we know that the signs are upon us? For instance, I can see that the grass is turning brown, and I know that is a sign for the lawn to be watered. Or maybe it's a sign that we need some more drought-resistant landscaping. And rudeness that people have toward one another and anxiety in their faces as they leave the Montgomery BART station on any given week of the morning, it's a sign that either the train has been delayed and it's been too crowded, and it could be a sign that it might be time to re-examine the train's timetables to accommodate a changing demographic. High real estate prices and greater homelessness is a sign that increasingly tech-driven population is moving into the area, and that more people are being pushed out to the distant suburbs or even out of the area entirely in order to afford living. And it is also a sign that municipal services have failed to account for the need for affordable housing so that those who need to live here can live here. And when a dog wags its tail, it's a sign that it's happy to see you, unless there's a distinct tightness around its lips and its teeth are showing, which are a sign that it really wants you to stay away. And when his muzzle has turned silver, like my dog, Banjo, and he has changes in his appetite and his weight loss and his inability to hold down his meals are a sign that he might have cancer, and that our time together is limited. We may not know exactly what Jesus' followers heard when he told them about these signs. We know that when the events came, they could very easily remember the words that Jesus gave them and be prepared for these horrible things that took place around them. But I find it really hard to read this text, looking at these very words that Jesus speaks, without taking into account the world around us today. Because the sun, the moon, and the stars can describe the changes that we're living in now. That the very heavens treat the world differently due to worldwide climate change. The distress among the earth by the roaring of the waves and seas as water levels rise, and island nations, which were once sanctuaries to their people, now threaten to flood and disappear from the surface of the ocean in only a few short years. It's hard to read the signs that Jesus gives us and not think of the strife that takes place around the world, and particularly our own reaction to it. Driven by the instantaneous nature of the news cycle and the fear-driven media frenzies that surround it. People fainting from fear and foreboding of what is coming. Doesn't that sound like the world? Doesn't that sound like things that are happening? Surely we live in the end times, we hear people say. Because how can we go on the way we have before when all around us is changing? But this, my sisters and brothers, is the dawn of hope, the wonder of the advent of Christ. Because as we look toward the return of the Messiah, even as we anticipate his birth during our church season, we can see that we are already beginning to live in this changing world. That we, the people of God, already understand that no, we cannot go on living the way we've been living before. The world needs to change, and the world needs that new hope. That we are not justified by the way we react in response to fear of the world around us, and that people who are not at all like we expect them to be. But we're justified by God's righteousness. That the Holy Spirit even now lives among us and gives us a choice to live in the truth that looks toward the hope of a better future. One which includes our fellow human being, be they friend or stranger, rather than disposes of them. That we can no longer call it community when we only acknowledge those of our social standing, ignoring those who are sleeping in the doors and the steps, and avoiding those whose skin color is not quite like ours. That we can no longer call ourselves hospitable by letting in only immigrants who fit our religious and ethnic mold, while telling those who worship God in a different way, or even those who don't worship God at all, that they have to remain in dangers that exist in the lands that they're trying to escape from. And we can't share a world with 7 billion human beings while continuing to imagine that it ends at the 49th parallel and the Rio Grande and 2 oceans. What we do in this country affects the whole world, and what happens outside those illusory borders will always come to affect us here on the inside. And we're given those signs not just to make us tremble in fear, but to encourage us to be the voice in the world, to live out our vocation. When it is said that they know us by our love, it is because that is how we who are granted the gift of faith live out that gift. That we uplift one another and ensure that God's justice is delivered in the world, not just for those like us, but for everyone. My sisters and brothers, we see these signs as hope. We see these signs as opportunities to grow. We see these signs as opportunities to change and become new and better people in God's own image. We see the signs as not something to fear, but as gifts, evidence of God's love for us. Because with these signs, we know that His guidance remains with us on earth. We see the signs and we are able to hope for a new and wonderful future that frees us from what miseries yet remain on earth. It frees us from strife and trouble where His reign is manifest and His love for us drives us to find only love for each other. So, sisters and brothers, the good news goes forth. A child will be born in a humble dwelling. Christ is coming in His glory, and the people of God rejoice. Amen.